Acts chapter 4, verse 8 to 12. Yes, I'd like a young person to read it. Acts chapter 4, verse 8 to 12. Yes, where are my young people in the house? Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 8 to 12. Please tell us which version.
New Living Translation.
Go on, please.
Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus, Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures, where it says, 'The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved.'"
Amen. Thank you very much. You ready? Well, Acts 4:12 says, "There is salvation in what? In no one else." Amen. There's only one name that is given amongst men by which we can be saved. And what is that name? It's the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You may say the name of Jesus, okay. But you want to say complete, the full title. Yeah? What's the full title? It's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what we just read is the story of the apostles. They had met a man at the entrance to the temple. They call that entrance the beautiful gate. But at the beautiful gate, there was a lame man. Is that not an irony? Beautiful gate. But there was a lame man begging. Yeah? And he has been there. You know, and the apostles come and say, "Please, can you give me money?" But he told him, say, "Silver or gold, I don't have." Or maybe a better way to say it, "I don't have to give you. But I have something better." So he says, "I have something better." What is better than silver and gold? Thank you for that. Where's the mic? What is better than silver and gold? You know, some people, you know, all they are living for is what? All they are living for is what? Silver and gold. They will compromise every other thing. Yeah? In the name of what? Silver and gold. But people say, "No, just, I don't have silver and gold to give you, but I have something better. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and what? And walk." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the miracle happened. And the man received strength. Amen. He received strength. And the Bible says he was walking and what? And leaping and what? And praising God. Hallelujah. That is the name. That is the name. That what? That is the name. It is the name above all names. Hallelujah. Open your Bible. I'm going to teach you a bit different than the Holy Spirit helped me. Open your Bible to Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And we're looking at verse 16 to 19. Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 to 19. Please follow this. The Holy Spirit will teach you something today that will help your life move forward. Matthew 16, 16 to 19. Yes, we would like to read? Yes, thank you. Matthew 16, 16 to 19.
"And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-John, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Amen. Thank you very much, Daddy. Thank you. You know, it's a blessing to read the Word of God. Hallelujah. If you read the Revelation, it said, blessed is he that reads this book. Is there? Revelation chapter 1. Hallelujah. I want to see the progression of what's going on in Matthew 16. Jesus was asking his disciples, say, who do men say I am? And some say, you are what? Elijah. Someone say, you are what? Jeremiah. Someone say that you are another one of the prophets. You can read the verses before. Then he now asks his disciples, who do you say that I am? And that question Jesus is asking you today. Amen. You know, so some people, Jesus is just a great prophet. He's just a great teacher. He's just what? An important man in history. You know, he's just, you know, he's somebody, you know, that Christians worship. Yeah? Even when people come to you, some people, they come to you and say, Jesus is Lord. They don't understand what they mean, what they're saying. Yeah? They're just saying Jesus is Lord, but they don't even know what's the mean of Lord? When you say someone is Lord, what does that mean? When you say someone is Lord, what does Lord mean? When you say Jesus is Lord, what does Lord mean?
They are in control.
They're in control, yes, more? Lord. Jesus is Lord. What does it mean?
Master.
Yes, more. Yes.
The one who directs.
Yeah, the one who is in charge. Who directs. More. Anyone. Jesus is Lord. I say Jesus is Lord. Someone say, I believe that Jesus is Lord. What does it mean?
I think who hold the authority.
Authority. Amen. So you see, when you say that Jesus is Lord, you have to understand that if you really understand it, yeah, there's only one way to respond, to bring yourself under his authority. If I'm not going to bring myself under his authority, he's not Lord to me. It's just empty talk. Amen. It's empty what? Talk. If I say Jesus is Lord, it's like today during the praise worship we're singing, Your Majesty. Yeah, you understand. When you say he's Lord, you're understanding his authority over your life. That's where it starts from. Amen? It's not enough to say it. You have to live it. So if you say it's not enough to say that Jesus is Lord, I have to submit to his authority. If I'm not, then I don't recognize that he is Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. So he asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? It's personal. Hello? Who do you say that what? I am. You know, there's no other person to understand me better than the one that you want to know the real me. Ask her. You have to challenge yourself. That's the way it is. It doesn't matter your reputation. Amen? It starts. Charity begins where? Charity begins where? I don't know. Just as someone saying that they will pay their tithe to charity, they are deceiving themselves. Charity begins where? At your home church. Amen. So no matter the reputation, the person that lives with you is the person that can tell you the real you. So work on your reputation with them. Amen. Because that's the real person they are interacting with daily. Jesus said, who do you say that I am? You are the ones that I live with. Yeah? The 12 disciples, they followed Jesus everywhere. They knew him. Who do you say that I am? So Simon Peter said, you are what? you are the Christ, the Messiah. Because Christ means Messiah. Christ is just English, yeah, coming from Greek, Christos, which is the translation. The Christos in Greek is translating Messiah in Hebrew. The anointed one, the chosen one. Yeah, God's special one. You are the Christ. Despite the fact that Peter lived with him, yeah, maybe sometimes they even joke together. Oh, well, maybe Peter joked with him. Have you noticed that Jesus never cracked a joke in the Bible? Have you ever noticed? Read your Bible well. If you can find a place where Jesus cracked a joke, I'll give you £5. Amen. Because it's the word of God. Amen. If he says the wrong thing, it can happen. So he meant every word. Amen. It doesn't mean he didn't have a sense of humor, but he didn't waste his words. He didn't play with his word. He said what he meant. And he meant what he said. Amen. So, Peter knew him. But he said, you are what? You are the Messiah. You are God's chosen one. The son of what? Of the living God. And Jesus is not talking to Jesus, Peter. Just talking to Peter. Just talk to everybody, except to Peter. He said, you are blessed. Amen. Anybody like to say, I'm blessed? Glory. But I want you to understand that you are not blessed just by your confession. You are blessed according to your behavior. Amen? If you look at the whole Bible, blessing is a product of something that there's a foundation to it. Amen? There's a foundation to it. And if you have all the money in the world, it does not mean you are blessed. You are just rich. To be blessed is to have the divine hand upon you. Blessing means divine approval. Amen? When you are approved, you are blessed. Blessing is something coming from above. So you can be rich and not blessed at all. In fact, according to the Bible, you can be rich and wretched. It's in Revelation 3. They were rich, but they called them wretched. Amen? To be blessed is to have divine approval. So Jesus said, Simon, you are blessed. Yeah? Because you have a revelation from the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he told him, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not what? Prevail against it. What is the rock? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the foundation. Amen. It's the foundation of our faith. Amen. To recognize that Jesus is the Christ. Or another way to say that, to recognize that Jesus is the way. To recognize that Jesus is the truth. To recognize that Jesus is what? Is the life. Hallelujah. Jesus is not just the way for me to get what I want. He is the way for me to be changed, to be saved, to be transformed. Hallelujah. When I say Jesus is the way, what I'm trying to say is that he is the model to follow. Hallelujah. He is the deal. He is the real deal. Hallelujah. He is the one. He's the example. God came down. Yeah. To show you an example of life. How life should be lived. That is Jesus. Amen. That is the one we want to be like. My life ambition. I don't know about you. Is to what? To be like Jesus. Imagine if every Christian was like that. We have a much better church. And not just that, we have a much better world. Because the same people that are going to church on Sunday are the people that go to the world on Monday and they perform corruption. They compromise. Yeah? Because they don't understand that actually they are building on Jesus. Yeah? Your goal is to be like what? Like Jesus. He is the way, he is the model, he is the deal. Is your aspirations, your ambition. Hallelujah. You cannot say, I'm born again, and then go off and do your own thing. No, when you say, I'm born again, you have submitted your life to Jesus. You have voluntarily accepted him to be Lord over your life. If he's not Lord over your life, and you are not born again, you are deceiving yourself. Hallelujah. Let me explain this again. If Jesus is not Lord over your life, you are not born again. You are just religious. Hallelujah. Because when he's Lord, he becomes your role model. Hallelujah. Jesus is what? My throne every day. He is the perfect man that I'm aspiring to be like. I am following him. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Say, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to verse, as I'm still going on the journey. Let's go to verse 19. Somebody read 19 again. Matthew 16:19. We're talking about the name of Jesus. Matthew 16:19.
And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven.
Amen. Question. Who was Jesus talking to? Please look at it. Look at it. Look at it again. I want special attention. You need some precision there. Matthew 16:19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be what? Rebound in heaven. That's, you are forbidding it. You are refusing it. And whatever you lose, or you're permitting, you're allowing, will be loosed in heaven. Who is Jesus talking to? Who is ready?
The church.
The church, yes. More precisely. Sorry. You know I like running around here. Keeps me young. Yes?
His disciple,
yes. More precisely. You see, as I've grown spiritually, I find that God can be very precise. Every time I'm looking at the Bible now, I'm seeing that there are very precise things in the Bible. There's precision. Yeah? It's just that you can be looking at something and not see. But when God opens your eyes, you see precision. It's specific precision. We were just talking to. So he was talking to, what was the first answer? The church. He was talking to what? His disciple. Precisely, yes. Peter. He was talking to Simon Peter. How? He named him. He said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." By the way, you know Jonah is the same name as John. That's why some Bible version called him John. Amen. And you know that Judas is the same name as Judah and Jude. Amen. And usually someone that bears the name Judas comes from the tribe of Judah. So Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, was from the same tribe as Jesus. You got it? That's precision. Amen. He said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." And begin to speak to him specifically. "I will give you, Peter, the keys of what? Of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will what? Be bound in heaven." You see, what I'm trying to say is that because Simon yielded himself to the place where he could get that revelation above the others, he was ahead of his time, that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus gave him a blessing. Hello? He gave him something special. Let me ask you a question now. What is the key, or what are the keys of the kingdom? Now, before you get discouraged, it also applies to the church. Can I show you that? Open to Matthew 18. Because I know how you are feeling, like, "Oh, I've been using this, like, you know, this is my right, but it was given to Peter." So open to Matthew 18, and I will show you where Jesus actually spoke to the disciples. So in Matthew 18, can you read verse 1 first? Matthew 18, 1. And then you read Matthew 18, 18. And 19. So Matthew 18, verse 1, verse 18, and verse 19. Yes, who is ready? A young person? Matthew 18, verse 1, 18, and 19. Anybody? Who is ready? Yes. Matthew 18, verse 1, verse 18 and 19.
King James Version, Matthew 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall
be. Sorry. You wanted to read verse 1 first.
Oh. Okay. Verse 1.
Yes.
At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?
Okay, I made you read verse 1 just to understand that Jesus was speaking to what? His disciples now. Okay. Not just Peter. Okay, that's the context. Just to show you the context. Now go to 18 and 19.
18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosened in heaven.
And 19.
Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
And 20.
24. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of.
Amen. Can I ask you a question? Is this a bonus question? And this answer belongs only to those who are not at home fellowship on Friday. If you are looking for Jesus, you want to meet Jesus, where can you find him? If you want to fellowship with Jesus, where can you find him? Matthew 18, 20. I'll give you the clue. It's in Matthew 18, 20. Read it again if you want to be sure. Yes?
In fact, where you fellowship with other people.
Amen.
Yes. Okay. Yourself.
Amen. Thank you, Sadi. Excellent. Let me ask another question. Where, physically speaking, where is Jesus right now? Yeah, well, it's not physically here, is it? Physically speaking, where is Jesus? Where? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. That's where he is physically. Yeah? But he's here what? Spiritually. Amen. Hallelujah. He's here spiritually, but physically, it's at the right hand of the Father. So when I'm looking for Jesus, when I want to fellowship with Jesus, Jesus told us where to find him. He said, where two or one or three are gathered together in my... Now notice, they are gathered in his name. In his name. That name is so important. In his name. He didn't say where two or three are gathered. He didn't say when they are having a barbecue or they are gisting or they are gathered. He said where they are gathered where? In his name. So if I have, for example, if I have three believers gathered, yeah? Just to do their own business, not in his name. He's not there. They are doing their own thing. Amen? They are doing their own thing, their own way. But when they are gathered in his name, as representing all that he is, Jesus said what? I am there in the midst of them. Hallelujah. That's why I always say that don't ever underestimate the church. The church is the body of Christ. That's where you find Christ. Where do you find Christ? In the church. That is where he releases his presence. Hallelujah. Because Jesus functions in this world today through what? His church. You cannot do anything about it. You have no say in the matter. He said, I will build what? My church. How dare I underestimate that statement? You're not following me. You just told Peter, I said, I will what? I will build my soul. He said, you just told me I'm the Christ. Now what I'm going to do to establish my presence in the world and operate in this world is to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not what? Shall not prevail. Let me say it this way. If you don't want to go to heaven, it's your choice. Hallelujah. The plan of God can never be stopped. The gates of hell will never prevail against thy child. Hallelujah. But you, the gate of hell can prevail against you if you cut yourself off from the church. I don't know if you are following what I'm, please follow the logic. The gates of hell will never prevail against the church. Yeah? Till kingdom come. Yeah? The true church will continue to overcome. Hallelujah. But it's our choice whether I want to be part of the true church. Yeah? Or I want to be compromised. When you are compromised, the gates of hell will prevail against you. Because you have become their member. Are you with me? But when you stay with the true church, you stay gathered together in his name. Fellowship in his what? In his name. Help each other in his name. That is the way to make sure that the gate of hell will not prevail against you. I don't know if you're getting it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My weapon against the gates of hell, yeah, is to stay in fellowship with other people gathered in his name, because he is there in the midst of them. You following it? So Matthew 18 tells us that whatever we bind on heart will be bound in heaven. That belongs to the disciples. And by extension, it belongs to the church. But I want to tell you that in Matthew 16, it was a specific promise to what? Peter. You know what that tells me? It was a prophecy. And that prophecy is fulfilled in the book of Revelation. Amen. Is what? It's fulfilled in the book of Revelation. But before that, let's ask a question. What is the key of the kingdom? You know, he said, I will give you the keys of what? Of the kingdom. What is the key? Anybody? Okay, if I change the question, now you know the answer. What is the master key? What? Wait, can you show me the Bible verse? Can you show me the Bible verse?
Prayer.
It's not in the Bible. Anybody show me Bible verse for prayer is the master key. Can you check your Bible? Search on Google. Prayer is the master key. Bible verse. Search it. That's how you find it. If you're looking for anything in the Bible, just say, quote the phrase, then say Bible verse. Google will try. Anybody try that? Try it. Prayer is the master key. Bible verse. See if I can find it. Have you tried it? Try it first. Try it. You never know what you'll find. Anybody? Try it. Anybody tried it? Yes. Prayer is the master key. Bible verse.
Now, prayer is the key, but not the master.
Anyone?
Okay.
Bible verse that says prayer is the key.
Ephesians 4:5-7.
Okay. Can you anybody read it and check whether this one prayer is the key? More?
Dear brothers and sisters, prayer is the master key that can unlock the many mysteries of God to us, as well as the promises that He has in store for us. Jeremiah 33.
Okay, what version?
Verse 3. Version, I don't know.
Okay, let's move to Jeremiah 33, verse 3. See, I told you, you never know what you find. Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah 33, what? Can somebody read it? Can somebody read Jeremiah 33? Sister Sharon, I like the look of your face. So I'm going to ask you to read it. Jeremiah 33.
Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not.
Amen. Yes? Any other version? No. We're still looking at Jeremiah 33. Anyone found prayer is the master key there? Okay, fine. Okay. Any other Bible verse that tells that prayer is the master key?
Philippians 4.
Okay, Philippians 4, what?
Verse 5 to 7.
Just a minute. Philippians 4. Please open your Bible to Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Yes, we jump forward.
Verse 5 to 7.
Okay, please read it.
The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen. That's a good verse. I love it. But does this say that prayer is the master key? No. Okay, any other person found prayer is the master key in the Bible? Hello? Did you find?
No, I didn't.
Do you want to say something? I saw your hand. No, okay, no, yes. So, what can we conclude? There's no more Bible verse that says prayer is the answer. Amen. The Bible says you should pray. Amen. You should what? You should pray. So don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And that's the best you can achieve. Then God Himself will determine the answer. Amen. Hallelujah. Your job is to pray. Yeah? Trust God. Depend on God. Yeah? And God will answer. Amen. Hallelujah. So what is the key? What is the master key? Okay, so let me explain. So now we show you the Bible that is not in the Bible. That prayer is the master key. Somebody's idea. But Jesus said in Matthew 16, yeah? He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. So he has revealed to us that there's what? There's at least one key. Or even there's many keys. There are some keys. Yeah? And whatever you want, bind on her, will be what? Bound in heaven. So the question I'm really asking you is that, what do I need to bind? And it will happen. What do I need?
The name of Jesus.
I need the name of Jesus. I got another answer too. What do I need? I need faith. Or if you look at Acts 3, I need faith in the name of Jesus. I said, this man, through faith in his name. Hallelujah. So faith is a key. The name of Jesus is what? A key. Hallelujah. But there is a master key. Which one is the master key? Faith or the name of Jesus? Prove it. Bible verse. Any Bible verse that shows you that you can use to support the notion that the name of Jesus is the master key. Yes. Philippians. Open your Bible to Philippians. Yeah, which chapter? Okay. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Amen. I hope you're learning something that will bless your life. Hallelujah. We're talking about Peter recognizing the authority of Jesus. Yeah? Then look at what Jesus did. It transfers part of that authority to him. Don't follow. Please follow me. Peter recognized the authority of Jesus. He said, you are what? You are the Christ. The Son of what? The living God. Yeah? So how does Jesus respond to his submission and revelation? He said, I will give you what? The keys. So he's ceding some authority to Peter. Yeah? As a consequence of the revelation he had that Jesus is Lord. Not just Jesus is Lord generally, but Jesus is my Lord and my King. So I then will give you the keys. It's personal. Hallelujah. Your revelation matters. Hallelujah. Your revelation matters. Your revelation of who Jesus is affects how you're able to use the authority in his name. Hallelujah. If you are living a life that shows that you don't recognize or appreciate the authority of Jesus, it becomes very difficult for you to use the authority in his name. Because in your lifestyle, you don't recognize it. I don't know if you are following what I'm saying. If Jesus, yeah, if I say Jesus is Lord, but I'm living a life as if Jesus is not my Lord. He's not my master. He has no authority in my life. I can do whatever I like. Then there will no basis now for me to use the authority of his name to achieve anything. Because I already said I don't recognize that authority in my life. I don't know if you are following me. The devil is not stupid. He's foolish, but he's not what? Stupid. He's smart. I showed you in the Bible. He's smarter than you. I have Bible verse for it. He said you are the sum of wisdom. Ezekiel 28. And the perfection of beauty. That's Lucifer. He said you are the sum of wisdom. He's super smart. Amen? So the devil knows that in your personal life, You don't recognize the lordship and the authority of Jesus. Now you are commanding the devil in his name. What do you think he's going to do? He will laugh. You know why? He knows that you don't know what you're doing. Amen. The name has no validity. Hallelujah. If you want demons to tremble at the name of Jesus at your command, yeah? You yourself, yeah? You respect that name. Amen? You reverence that name. Hallelujah? You know the value. Yeah? It's like somebody gave you a 50 pound note. I'm not talking about a $1 note. Yeah? Anybody knows the difference between 50 pound? Where's Sean? Sean went to a party and Kevin and Ryan, and they were giving them what? Dollars. But they were what? $1. What's the difference between $1 note and 50 pound note? Do you recognize the difference? Come on, tell us.
50 pound. Firstly, they're different currencies. And 50 pound note is worth more than the $1.
Exactly. So, if you go to a party, Agnes, will you be spraying 50 pound notes as like giveaway?
No,
no way. For someone, it's a day's work. Hallelujah. Yeah, you got to understand the value of that name. Then it will deliver for you. Amen. If you understand the value, it will what? It will deliver for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Philippians 2, we're looking at Philippians 2. Sean, I would rather you seated here and not distracted. Philippians 2, we have to read the whole thing. Because I will explain this, and then I'm still aiming to finish in 10 minutes. At 12:30. So Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Please, I ask you a favor here. Can you just pay attention to those verses? I need to really just show you some principles there. Because many times here, we just go off with the final conclusion. We don't understand how we got there. So you miss the principle of how it works. You can't just take something as conclusion. It's like you are doing mathematics and you're trying to solve a simultaneous equation. You skip the whole process and you just write the answer. You have to understand, the process is part of the deal to understand how it works. If you don't understand how it works, it will not work for you. Because you don't understand how it works. So let's look at how it works. Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Yes, someone to read? Thank you. Please pay attention, it will bless you. And then you can apply this in your life. We are talking about the name of Jesus.
You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Can I ask my question again? What is the master key? Is the name of Jesus. How do we know? Because he gave him the name above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every knee, tongue should what? Should confess that Jesus is Lord. That's why it is the master key. But the question we need to ask ourselves now is, how did Jesus obtain that name? By the way, I want to challenge you that according to that verse, the name of Jesus is greater than the name of God. Read it. God gave him what? The name above what? Every other name. That's why if you say, I believe in Jesus, it's more powerful than saying, I believe in God. Because God chose that name to represent himself. That's why Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in what? In my name. Hallelujah. That Jesus is so powerful. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus is more powerful than God the Father. Please, don't misunderstand me. God rewarded him. God gave it to him. Yeah? It doesn't take anything away from God. Amen? It takes nothing away from God. It's just God choosing that Jesus is representing him. Hallelujah. Among men, the name, Acts 4:12, there's salvation in no other name. Yeah? It's Jesus. That's why, if you go around the world saying, I believe in God, yeah? People can still tolerate you more than if you say, I believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. Because when you say, I believe in God, there are many gods. If you are Hindu, maybe 360 million gods. If you tell an Hindu, I believe in God, he say, which God? Which one? Hallelujah. So that's not enough. It's not just God. It's Jesus. If you want to recognize the only true God, you call the what? Name what? Jesus. That's it. That's why Jesus said, I am the way. Not a way. I am the truth. Hallelujah. If you come into Jesus, yeah, if you hear the truth of God's word, and you are not happy with it, and you're satisfied, and you walk away, you will be deceived. Let me explain that again. If you walk away from the truth, there's only one other option. You will be deceived. It's either the truth or what? Or nothing. If you don't love the truth, you will what? You will be deceived. Hallelujah. There are people like that. They don't love the truth. They hear the truth, but they don't love the truth. Their heart is not right. Yeah? So the devil will sell them what? A lie. And everybody is serving something. Say, we can say everybody is serving something. There is never a time in your life you're not serving anything. If you refuse to serve God, you will serve something else. Hello? Are you with me? If you what? If you refuse to serve God, you will serve something else. There is never a state in your life that you're not serving something. So it's dangerous to refuse to serve God. Because the devil will find something for you to serve. It may be a good thing. Yeah, still serving it. Amen. That's the way it is. That's why the first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. Because that's the way it is. If God is not priority, something else will take over. And you will serve it. You must serve it. Hallelujah. So it's wisdom to put God first. Hallelujah. What is wisdom? To put God first. So we're coming closer to this, to finishing the message. The question is, how did Jesus obtain this name above all names? But let me give you the context. Because if you are thinking about Jesus was always God. Yeah? So why did he need to? If Jesus was always God, why did God have to? Please look at verse. Look at Philippians 2, verse 9. Philippians 2:9. Read it. Philippians 2:9. Let's have a mic. Philippians 2:9. Let's have another person. Read Philippians 2:9. Are you there? Hello, sir. Philippians 2:9. Please follow in your Bible. Follow, pay attention. I want to show you something there. Philippians 2:9.
Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name.
Okay, stop. Why did God need to exalt Jesus? Jesus was God, isn't it? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. So why does God need to exalt Jesus and give him the name above all names? Yes? The answer is there. It just look at the verses before.
Well, Jesus humbled himself. He doesn't claim the same authority with God.
Amen. The principle is that Jesus, in obedience to the divine purpose, humbled himself, became a man. Yeah? And he became obedient to death. Jesus could not die if he did not choose to die. A million machine guns cannot kill Jesus. You got it? He released himself. He gave up himself to death. By his nature, he couldn't die if he didn't release himself. Even on the cross, he could come down. Even when, on the cross, you know, when they were trying to arrest him, and Peter took out his sword and cut off someone's hair. And by the way, the Bible records the name of the man that they cut off his hair. Can you imagine? You know his name? Malchus. It's in the Bible. You know what that tells me? That man, yeah, became a disciple of Jesus. That's how they were able to get his name and record it. That experience, yeah? In one moment, his hair was cut. In the next moment, Jesus took it and what? That experience changed him. That's why his name is written. He became a disciple. Amen? So, and Jesus was like, even right now, I can call a legion of angels. Right now. So keep your sword. it's not that I'm being arrested. I am submitting myself to being arrested. It's not that I'm helpless. Amen? He gave himself. He humbled himself. He became a man. Yeah? That is why God what? Exalted. You see the principle? You see, that's how authority works. You submit to the higher authority, then the higher authority cedes authority to you. Amen? You need to recognize authority in your life. If you don't, the devil will have a play day. Amen? The devil will have a play day. That's why in the first commandment that God gives you about a human being is the fifth commandment. He said what? Honor your father. God is teaching you authority. In fact, if you look at the Ten Commandments, the first commandment is, have no other gods. God is teaching you the ultimate authority. That the ultimate authority is what? It's God. Second one, make no other idols, worship no other idols, recognize authority. Third one, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He's still telling you about authority. Fourth one, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. He's still telling you that there is what? Authority. And the fifth one tells you what? In the human level. You come into this. Have you ever met anybody that came to this world without a father or a mother? To exist as a human being, you need what? A father or a mother. Yeah? So that's why he tells you, the beginning of your life, for your life to go well, is to recognize that there is authority. You cannot do as you like. So if you say, I cannot do as I like. It's a statement of not recognizing authority. If you want your life to have order, you need to understand that there's authority. Amen? And we're talking about godly authority. Amen? So Jesus recognized the authority of the Father. Though he was God, yeah? He was a member of that same family. Jesus had every right to be called God because he is the Word of God. But he humbled himself. He recognized the authority of the Father. Hallelujah. Jesus came to the world and said, my Father is greater than I am. That's authority. Hallelujah. He submitted himself to death. So God, listen now, see the reward. Someone who shared the status of God humbled himself. So what did God do? God now gave him the name above all names. Do you know that God has a personal name? I've taught in this church. God has a personal name. It's in the Bible. God told Moses his personal name. Yeah? In Hebrew is Yod He Vav He. We call him Yahweh. Yeah? Or Jehovah. His same name. I prefer to call him Yahava. That's his personal name. But think about it. Which name is more popular in the world today? Yahweh or Jesus? That's the reward. God gives Jesus the name above what? All names. Because he recognized the authority of God over his life. And he did God's will. And the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee one shall bow. And every word, tongue. Let me just ask a question. There's something that just come in my spirit. Can we read that from King James? Let me see what I'm doing with time. Okay. We're about finishing now. Let me just... My mic. King James. Philippians 2:11. Can you just quickly read it, King James? Philippians 2:11. King James version. Do you have it? Yes. Philippians 2:11. We are finishing it there.
Yeah. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Okay. Can you start from 10 where it states that the name of Jesus.
Okay. Every knee. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow.
Should.
Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the heart, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. What does New King James say? Does it say should or shall? Should. We're talking about precision here. Okay, what does New Living say? Sorry, I have my New Living corner there. What? Should? I'm impressed. Okay. Anybody has a version that says shall? Amplified. In this case, Amplified is talking too much. Come on, at the mouth of two or three witnesses. This is a revelation. I want you to pay attention. It didn't say every knee shall bow. It said every knee what? Should. Question. What is the difference between should and shall? Every knee should bow versus every knee shall bow. You've been quiet. See, it's good to have sisters. Very good. I know what I'm talking about. I have two sisters ahead of me. It's good to have sisters. And I have two sisters after me. Every knee should bow. And every knee shall bow. What's the difference?
Certainty and uncertainty. Like, should is that you like is more of a choice, and shall is.
Yes. It's a good answer. More? Anybody like to pinpoint it better? It's the right. It's a good answer. You got it right. But anything more? Every knee should bow and every knee shall bow. What's the difference?
I think should is compulsory.
Okay. What? Okay. Good.
But shall,
okay. Maybe. Thank you. At least I'm stimulating some thinking. Should bow. Every knee should bow and every knee shall bow.
Should is optional. Should is optional.
Yeah. What about shall?
Shall. Might. Yes. Still optional as well.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Should or shall.
Should is like a proposition. You should maybe do it.
Yeah.
Shall is like you have to.
Yes. It's okay. And finally, let's go to.
I wanted to say, shall, is it not like your one will?
Mm-hmm. And what about should?
Should is like someone telling you to.
Okay. Yes. And finally.
It's a duty. It's a must.
Mm-hmm.
Shall, it's something that is going to happen in the future. Shall.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Thank you. Nah. Don't be too sure now. Amen. You see, when they write the law, yeah, they will tell you shall. They'll not give you an option. You shall do this, you shall do that. Whether you like it, Yeah, when they write the law, they tell you shall. It's not optional. Yeah? So that when you don't, you get punished. You shall. Amen. Should is you ought to. You know, like when you're bringing up to it, it's like, dude, I say, why? Why? Yeah, then you reply, keep quiet. You must do it. Amen. There's a little bit of, because I wanted to show you some precision there. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. It's not every knee shall bow. And that's why it's possible for you to use the name of Jesus. And so knees are not bowing. Yeah? Amen? One of the conditions is that you can use the name of Jesus and not recognize the authority in that name. Do you get it? You're using the name? Yes. Just the same way you took the name of the Lord in vain 3 weeks ago. Not you. I'm saying in general. Do you get it? Amen? A believer who is taking the name of the Lord in vain will not be able to effectively use the name of the Lord. Because it's authority versus authority. It's like, you know, your son disrespecting your father, then you're asking your own son to respect you. It's the same principle. Amen? If you recognize the value of the name, if you understand the authority of his name, you submit under that authority, yeah? Then the knees will bow. Yeah? At your use of that name. Hallelujah. Let's rise up and talk to God. We talked about the name of Jesus. We showed how God gave Jesus the name above all names because Jesus himself respected the Father. He submitted to the will of the Father. He humbled himself. He became obedient to death. So God rewarded him and put the name of Jesus above his own name. So that the name of Jesus represents both the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We've also shown that that name is the master key. It is the master key. And it's faith in the name. And you cannot have faith in something you don't recognize or something you dishonor. So, what I'm doing today is that I want to thank God for the name of Jesus. I personally want to rededicate myself to that name. I'm representing the name. I am living for his name.